We're discussing the spike in homicides and violent crime and President Biden's anti-crime strategy. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. At the White House last week, Biden outlined steps to create strike forces in a handful of big cities to help stop weapons trafficking and target law-breaking gun shop owners.
Enough rogue gun dealers feel like they can get away with selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them. And I might add, the Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own.
What crime reduction steps have worked for your community? Have you noticed a spike in homicides where you live? What would stop the violence? 800-642-1234. Anita Kumar is a White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. Anita, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back.
There's bloodshed and a wave of violence in cities across the country since last year, and that FBI data show the per capita murder rate climbed 25%. What do federal officials say is driving this violence?
Yeah, it's been interesting to sort of watch how the country is coming out of the coronavirus pandemic. Of course, it's not over. But what federal officials are saying, it's a couple things. One, there's always sort of an escalation when the weather gets warmer. And of course, we're in the summer months now. But also it's that people have been, you know, largely at home for the last 15 months. And things, you know, as America gets back to normal, sadly, it's also getting back to normal with some of the crime. So what they're seeing is those statistics going up since some of these you know, local and state rules have been lifted on who can be out, you know, during the pandemic. And so that's what they're starting to see. You know, it's things we were seeing before coronavirus as well. But I think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing them again now.
Yeah. And, you know, President Biden looked at gun sales as measured by federal background checks. And he seems to give a lot of credit to background checks. He says there are still too many loopholes. What is the impact of background checks, according to the president?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that has been widely praised, the background check system. What hasn't been praised is people that are dealers that are trying to go around the system not do the background checks. States that don't put in the information into the background check system. So it's perceived as being very helpful, but there are a lot of problems with the system. And advocates who are looking at this, who want to, you know, stem gun violence, have talked for many, many years about how the background check system, while a good idea in practicality, has a lot of problems with it.
One of President Biden's strategies is penalizing gun sellers who don't follow regulations. He had harsh words for what he called rogue gun sellers. What is the strategy behind this method?
Yeah, this is probably the big takeaway from his plan that came out last week. This is basically saying, if you're a dealer, a gun dealer, and you violate, you don't do a background check for a variety of reasons, that you can have your license taken away. And what he's saying is this will be the first time. So the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Bureau, can seek to revoke the license of dealers the first time they violate federal law, which is, you know, not something that they were looking at doing before. This means if you are transferring a firearm to a person who shouldn't have it, you fail to run the background check, you falsify records, fail to respond to an ATF request for tracing, that kind of thing. So it's sort of what he's calling, or what they're calling, a zero tolerance policy.
We're talking with Anita Kumar, who is a White House correspondent at Politico. She's helping us understand the policy and politics of the White House public safety plan and the addressing of homicides. You can join in. Has crime risen in your community? What violence prevention strategies would you like to see? 800-642-1234. Tom is joining us from Burlington with thoughts. Tom, hi.
I would just like to point out that a lot of people believe that the National Rifle Association is a club, a gun club. It isn't. It really should be called the National Rifle Manufacturers Association, because their original thing, they represent manufacturers and gun sellers. And these people think they're joining a club. It's not a club. They don't even represent the people they claim they represent. A manufacturer is not really on the side of a gun seller or a gun owner. And that's one problem we have. And they have so much power in the communities, you can't implement any laws or get anything passed. And I'd just like to point out one thing about the automatic thing. You don't need an automatic rifle if you know how to shoot straight.
Okay. And Tom, I just want to take this one at a time here. Anita, you know, the NRA, the gun lobby, Tom is saying, has had a huge impact on the inability to move legislation on this issue.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. They've had a huge, huge impact. It's not just the NRA, of course. There are other groups as well, including one particular group that represents the manufacturers. But he's correct. I mean, the NRA represents many aspects of the gun industry. I would say that they've had less of an impact just in recent years. The NRA is going through some scandal and some problems with their finances, several scandals with the leadership, and things have changed. A lot of people have changed over there. Still have influence, and they still came out very hard against what President Biden put out. In fact, what they said was, look, this zero tolerance policy is just you enforcing the law that should have already been enforced. And so why is this anything new? Why were you not doing it before? But then they quickly said, and all of them said this, it wasn't just the one group, many groups said this. Then they said, you know, why, you know, this is just a way to close down gun people that are selling guns, businesses that are allowed to sell guns. That's the ultimate goal here, is what they accuse the president of.
What is the president's response to claims that gun regulations infringe upon the Second Amendment?
Well, he says a lot, and we've heard this language from a lot of Democrats, not just him, is that, look, that they support the Second Amendment. They support people owning guns, but they want to, curb gun violence, crimes, people that shouldn't have guns. And there are ways to do that without infringing on the rights of those who are allowed to have them and have not committed any crimes.
Let's bring in Tim now in Madison. Tim, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I have a fairly straightforward solution. It's not an overnight solution, but something to fix gun violence in this country. Mandate that all new firearms produced have to have RFID safeties, so where the gun will not fire unless it is in close proximity to the RFID chip. And then, you know, much like when you scan your badge at work, and then have a situation where schools and businesses can put in RFID jammers if they want to.
Okay, so Tim is looking to, update the technology in these products, Anita.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. I'm sure that there's been a lot of things that have been discussed. As we all kind of know, it's been really difficult for things to get passed or get pushed through on guns over the years, primarily because a lot of these things have to go through Congress. And Congress has been reluctant to make any changes. Really, that's, you know, what's been happening. We kind of tend to see this as a Democratic-Republican issue, and it's really not fully. We've seen some Democrats were reluctant to do this. We saw President Trump, you know, a Republican, saying he wanted to make changes and then didn't try to push anything. So the Congress and the president together have been unable to make changes now in the gun laws for a number of years.
We have Politico's White House correspondent Anita Kumar talking us through the politics and the policy of the White House's anti-crime plan, what it means across the nation. Do you think gun violence will get worse before it gets better? What could root out the problem with the spike in homicides? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Anita Kumar here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing how to address the spike in gun violence and President Biden's anti-crime plan. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this month, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett declared a National Gun Violence Awareness Day.
We're seeing increases all over the nation in these shootings, that somehow more guns are going to solve this problem. I think we've seen time and time again that hasn't happened.
That courtesy of WDJT-TV. According to the CDC, more than 100 Americans die from a firearm-related injury every day. Every day. What will stop it? 800-642-1234. Anita Kumar is White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. She stays with us. Anita, part of the president's crime prevention program is to reduce repeat offenses by former inmates. What is the president's strategy there?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's been looked at for a long time, how to get guns and away from and crime, get people that have been committing crimes to not to commit them again. It's something that they're seeing over and over again. He has looked at a variety of things, and he's talked about this not just last week, but generally, how to get into the communities and help people with, you know, getting jobs and getting the programs that they need in those areas. This has been something that actually advocates have been pushing on since even before he became president. They have been saying that that was the number one thing that was needed, was these programs in communities of color and in black and brown communities. And it's something that, I mean, this is not new, of course, but it's something that actually they felt that even President Obama didn't do well enough. And so they wanted to work on this. What we saw with President Biden is that he put a huge amount of money in his proposed budget to do this. But of course, as we know, the budget doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come, it's going to happen, but Congress decides about that money. So what we saw President Biden say in this plan was that communities can use some of the money that's in the coronavirus relief bill that has already passed. To do everything. He even mentioned summer jobs, you know, getting people who have committed crimes but are back in the community, able to work, able to do other things, get the help that they need.
Yeah, I mean, is the message there that cities can kind of go it alone and figure out how best to use, you know, a big chunk of this relief package to look at their law enforcement, to hire officers, to prosecute gun traffickers? You know, how would cities shape how they use relief aid in this way?
Yeah, it's $350 billion in funding that they're talking about. This is in the American Rescue Plan. But you're right, it's to do all sorts of things. And it was sort of interesting to hear President Biden not sort of shy away from putting money into law enforcement after this whole political issue of, you know, defund the police and that sort of thing. But yeah, he was talking about that communities could use it to hire law enforcement officials, to invest in technology, new equipment, all that sort of thing, as they sort of see fit. It's not the only thing he's saying, but it was sort of another tool that he was urging them to use.
Let's go to Conrad now in Dubuque, Iowa. Conrad, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think one of the most obvious solutions would be to decriminalize drugs, because most of the gun killings are turf warfare by gangs in the major cities. And instead, we're concentrating on rifles, which are responsible for far less deaths than fists and hammers and other blunt objects.
Okay, Conrad. So is saying look at drug, you know, the influence of drug-related violence.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people have talked about. I don't know that there was anything specifically addressed on that in this particular plan. But one thing to note is that President Biden said, or the White House has said since the beginning of his term, that what they're going to do is, this is sort of a rolling plan. This plan isn't going to be one thing that's coming out, you know, on one day, that they're going to continually put out pieces that can be used. So this, I really, even though they called this more of a crime plan or anti-crime plan, I consider this sort of the second piece of President Biden's gun restrictions plan. He had put out something in April that was sort of the first. If you'll remember, one of the biggest things he said then was that he wanted to regulate these so-called ghost guns, which some people don't know what those are, but they're sort of makeshift guns. They're guns that you can put together. You can buy sort of a kit to put them together. And they weren't regulated at all because they weren't considered like a firearm with a number and that sort of thing. So he talked about the first part of his plan in April. This is the second part. And the White House says there's going to be future pieces coming out as well.
You know, there was the federal judge in California this month who overturned that state's longtime ban on assault weapons. And the judge had equated an AR-15 to a Swiss Army knife. That ruling is blocked for now. But is there any traction in Congress to ban assault weapons as Biden wants?
Yeah, it's a great question and one that, you know, people pose all the time. There are a long list of things that the president and some Democrats are trying to push in Congress, and they have for a really, really long time. You mentioned assault weapons. There's also one to expand the background checks. There are others, a variety of others, and the president keeps pushing on these. He keeps talking about it. President Obama talked about it. President Trump even talked about some of them. There really isn't the traction there. You know, the Democrats do control both chambers at the moment, but their majority is so small that it's very difficult. It's small in the House, but of course it's even smaller in the Senate, where there's a 50-50 Senate. So 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. Democrats have the majority, but only because the vice president presides over the Senate. And that she can break ties. They need 60 votes in the Senate to pass anything significant right now, just to get through this filibuster rule that they have. And they just do not have 10 Republicans on board. Honestly, with some of these things, they may not have all Democrats on board. Some of these conservative Democrats, like Joe Manchin of West Virginia, may not go along with all of these things. So it's going to be very, very tough. Even times when Democrats have the chambers, they still cannot get these things through.
We're talking with Anita Kumar, White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico, as we look at Biden's focus on crime strategy. What comes next to address the surge in homicides across the country? With your insights, 800-642-1234. Tim is joining us in Madison. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say, for one thing, banning anything in America just never seems to really happen because there's money involved in it. So that never seems to work with drugs, sex trafficking, doesn't matter what it is. Two, nobody's looking at the obvious. Social media, which I can't believe nobody said anything about. You can see that in the discourse of the country. Poverty being another leading one. And parents neglecting either because they work too much or simply just don't pay attention to their kids because they throw them a phone. That's Sandy Hook, that's Columbine. All kinds of them can be attributed to parents not paying attention. And
yes.
As a parent who's raised two boys, you know, I know for a fact that it's you can pay attention to your kids and work.
So Tim is really looking at the social issues there and poverty as well, Anita.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think that some of this emphasis from advocates on let's put money in these communities of color to deal with some societal issues, to deal with homes where the parents aren't there or all sorts of things. That is a push by some, and the administration has embraced it, but, you know, maybe not as much as some would like. The social media thing is very interesting. That is something that we heard a lot during the Trump administration. You know, they didn't focus so much on some of these laws, but they, or, you know, changing some of these rules. They did not, you know, sort of tighten some of these restrictions on firearms. What they did talk a lot about was how social media, video games, other things like that may contribute to violence. And they talked a lot about sort of trying to get at that. You know, it wasn't clear that they ever made any progress on that, but they did sort of talk about ways that they could try to address that issue.
You know, homicides, they did surge after the killing of George Floyd in May last year, and statistics, they can't prove causation, but is there any discussion on what happened as the nation turned its attention toward police brutality and, you know, rose up in protest?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I haven't heard. I think that, you know, after in the months sort of following the killing last year, and as we saw protests and that sort of thing around the country, that was really something that you heard a lot about. And it really took on, obviously, a political tinge there where Republicans were really talking about, look, there's all these protests and the protests have turned violent. And how can we address that? It's really become part of the Republican talking point against Democrats that, you know, they don't want to handle crime. They are soft on crime. And it's something that we've heard politically over and over again through the years. It's not new, but I think it's taken on a new, way to look at it, I think, since last summer. And so Republicans really feel like they have an upper hand on this, that they're tough on crime. Democrats aren't. I think you're going to see that. You saw that in the 2020 election as an attack. I think you're going to see it in the midterms next year. And in fact, there have been some Democrats and even some that put together sort of a postmortem on the 2020 election saying the Democrats didn't do a good enough job countering Republican attacks on that. You know, they didn't push back hard enough when Republicans said they were soft on crime. And that's something you're going to see again. They're trying to combat this next election.
Anita, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Anita Kumar is a White House correspondent and associate editor at Politico. Ahead this hour, we learn what it means to have the return of county fairs and how important they are to the state's ag economy. News update is next on the Ideas Network.